blessing, and I just enjoy reading the Bible, and I enjoy studying the Bible, and then obviously I enjoy seeing truths and trying to share truths and things like that. And just to jump right in here, we got four verses that I'll read to, I guess, give us the background or some validity to this statement tonight. And the title of my sermon tonight is just two words, and it is "Show Me." Show me. And again, we have different opinions on that. And I have had different opinions on that at different ages in my life. When I was a little kid, I was pretty, I guess, interested in pretty much a lot of things, you know, and how does that work? Show me. You know, how'd you do that? Show me. And things like that. And then, of course, you know, the older we get, maybe teenage years or maybe even tween age, between children and teens, we get that little chip on our shoulders that we're, you know, we know. We're grown. We got this. You know, don't show me. I got it. And things like that. And then you know, you get a little bit of age on you and you make some mistakes. And they, you know, maybe costly mistakes, and whether it be financial pain, things like that. And then you get a little bit more knowledge on your head again, or in your head again, things like that. And you're like, okay, wait a minute, I don't want to, you know, spend a whole lot of money on this, making mistake after mistake after mistake. So, just show me, you know, how to do this, and so we don't have to fix, you know, things like that. Kind of like, you know, I was doing the construction project at my house when we first moved here, and 3 or 4 months, maybe, you know, a little longer, I don't know, but anyway, we was putting a bedroom down there and so forth, and living in the guest room upstairs and things like that. And I you know, built the bedroom down there for us, 2 small walk-in closets, things like that, and I wanted light switches in there, and so I ran them and all that kind of stuff. And so I would turn the light switch on, light would come on, I'd turn the light switch off, it'd blow the breaker. Okay. And so anyway, you know, I was asking around, and of course Brother Dave knows a little bit about electricity, and so he's telling me, try this, try this, try this. And finally I just asked him, will you just come over and show me? I'll do all the work. I'll reskin, I'll retape, I'll rewire nut, I'll do all the work if you just bring your noodle over here and show me. And again, I had messed up. I had basically done a little bit, one mistake in the wiring. And I had to put all that together and wire nut it. And he showed me. Now, again, if you know Brother Dave, then he was going into all this detail. Now, this is what you this is what's happening, things like that. I'm good. You showed me. And so anyway, so we get it. Show me. So the Christian life, same thing. We have some people that, you know, they're new Christians, or maybe they're growing in the, in an area of their life, and they're like, oh, show me, teach me, tell me, you know, God, show me, and they're just excited about it. And then they might say, well, you know, I've been a Christian a long time, it's old hat to me, I've got it down, things like that, you know, so I'm good, don't show me, and so forth. And then we make, you know, blunders, you know, sometimes our pride gets in the way, or sometimes our flesh gets in the way, and we make a mistake. And we feel bad about it, hopefully. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we're like, okay, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to make that mistake again. I don't want to cause that pain again. So God, show me. And so maybe we've learned that we need to ask this more often than, you know, because our flesh will get us in trouble. Our pride will get us in trouble. Just living in this world will get us in trouble. And so it's better to say, hey, show me. All right? You know, show me what I should do. And again, this right here has got me in a lot of trouble before. All right? Because I didn't put this in gear before I put this in gear. But according to the Bible and according to the Holy Spirit, He will actually show us what to say. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, I'm going to paraphrase here, that I ought to know how to answer every man. According to the Bible. So if somebody comes in, I mean, they're just fired up, red, mad. According to the Bible, I ought to be able to give a good answer. Soft answer turns away wrath. Put a, you know, calm the situation down. Or if somebody's like, I want to know how to get to heaven. Take the Bible, answer that question. So again, we ought to learn. And so that's what this the whole, I guess, lecture or Bible study, if you want to call it that tonight, is called Show Me. Show Me. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. I believe that illustration kind of sets the tone here, that our flesh will mess us up, our pride will mess us up, living in this world will mess us up, just being human sometimes will mess us up. But if we'll just ask you to show me, we can keep ourselves from a lot of hurt, a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, and we're asked to ask you to help us realize also that we can glorify you if we do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at four verses that have the word show me in it. We're going to look at some fellows that asked this question, and then we're going to see some other things that we might should ask as we go through the lesson. Number one, we're in Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11, and it says right there, "Thou wilt show me," and of course it's got a different spelling there, but that's what it means and says. It says here, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And so again, we can look at the context of this scripture here, and again, this person had learned it's better to ask God to show me than to try to figure it out on my own. It's better to ask God to show me than to be hard-headed and to let my flesh dictate or let my pride dictate. It's better to let God show me what and show me what. In doing that, it says here, there's in His presence is fullness of joy. I will be happy about what He shows me. I will be happy to do what He showed me, and I will be happy with the results of doing what He showed me to do. That's what it's talking about. So if we have God's presence with us, He will help us in showing us how to act, how to respond, how to behave, all this stuff, and it'll bring joy to our life. And it says here, "At thy right hand are thy pleasures forevermore." So in other words, that's what God would rather us do. I would rather, my dad has told me this before, I would rather you had asked me how to then try to figure it out. And again, I was telling you about that. There were some times that my dad wanted me to use initiative, try to figure it out on my own, things like that. I don't want to have to tell you every little thing. But then I would get in trouble for doing something. I'd get frustrated. Which is it? Do you want me to try to figure it out? Or do you want me to ask you every little detail? And again, so same thing here. It was better to ask than to mess up. And so same thing here. God's like, "Hey, I want you to ask me. I may have let this situation come into your life so you would ask me because I want to have fellowship with you. But then I want also to be right there." And He's like, "At my right hand, there's pleasure forevermore." I'll read you the other three. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 25, 4 says this, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." So two places here in Psalm where it says that word, "Show me." Show me. Now we'll go to Psalm 17, 5. And it says this, "Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not." So all three of these verses talk about that right hand. Maybe I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That song, I love it to death. And that's what God is saying here. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my foot slip not. Again, God wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants us to realize that we're His child, and He wants us to keep us from slipping. And He will hold us right there. Then Proverbs 3:6, very, very familiar one. It says here, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." So how do we get Him to show us? Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. So my dad confused me a little bit sometimes. Think, boy, figure it out. And then, hey, ask me. God's right here saying, "In all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path." So in God's opinion, He would rather us, even if it's simple, ask me. I'm right here. And if you'll do that, there will be joy in my presence, things like that. So God's opinion is in all of His ways. Well, this is a simple way. No, in all of His ways. Well, this is a difficult way. I want to delve into my Bible, and I want to figure it out on my... No. In all of His ways. Ask. And He'll direct your path. So, we're going to look at a couple guys that did this. First one is found in Exodus 33, and this is Moses. Exodus 33:13. I'll read you the verse. Actually, I'm going to go over here, and we'll read several verses. Exodus 33. And we're going to see that Moses, he was like, "God, you got to show me." And of course, we know Moses' opinion when he you know, told him to go deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. He started excuses. I can't. I'm not smart enough. I'm slow of speech. You know, he won't let us go. He's probably going to kill us. I mean, he just kept going. And God obviously kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him and saying, this is what I want you to do. And then he's okay, finally, he's okay, show me. Show me how. And so verse 1, it says here, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart, go up hence, thou and thy and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land where I swear to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And so he's talking obviously here to Moses, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites and Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and for I will not go up in the midst of thee, and thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they murmured or mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. And the Lord said unto Moses, say, all right, so he's telling him what to say, he's telling him how to do this, unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in the moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off the ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments on Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it out of the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was out of the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at the door of his tent and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. So, of course, you know the story. You know, they're griping a little bit, and Moses is like, show me what to do. He says, all right, this is what you do. You tell them that I'm going to wipe the ground with them if they don't get right. And you tell them, and he took the tabernacle, and of course they're all standing in the door of their tent, and the pillar, pretty cloudy pillar came down and stood there above Moses, and they talked, God and him. It says here, and the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle of the door. This is verse 10. And worshiped every man at the door of his tent. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, and the young man departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And here's verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. And so, of course, we see here Moses had talked to God face to face and said, show me what to do. And so in this verse, we say here, show me now thy way that I may know thee. And again, he said, look, I want to know what you want me to do. I want you to know. I want to know how you want me to act. I want to know everything. Show me so I can know you. Then it says here that I might find grace in your sight. I know I have, and I want to continue to do so. That I might find grace in thy sight and consider this thy nation of people. So verse 14, God told Moses in verse 14, it says here, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And so he says, look, you just go ahead, and I'm gonna go with you. And verse 15 then said, Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. And so Moses was like, okay, God, I'm glad that you said you'll go with me. I'm glad that you said your presence will be there. Matter of fact, if your presence is not there, I don't want to be anywhere close to it. And so again, we see here Moses is learning and saying, look, God, I want you to show me. And I want to be able to do exactly what you want me to do. And again, if you're not going to be there, and I believe there's a song called that, if thy presence go not with me, I don't want to go. And that's exactly the way we're supposed to live. So God showed Moses several things. And of course, not all in this scripture here, but we saw that God proved himself to Moses. And of course, he asked him one time, he was like, show me how we're going to do this. And he said, okay, what's in your hand? And of course, he said, it's a rod. And he said, throw it down. And you know the story. He threw it down and it became a snake. That's when I would have left. The story would have been over right there, okay? Or I would have shot it or something. But anyway, he threw it down a snake. And then he said, pick it up. Again, I'd already been gone. But, you know, he reached down and grabbed him by the tail and turned back into the rod. So God had already showed him a lot of things. And so this is why Moses was very, I guess, particular, saying, God, you know, you've shown me some things. I want you to show me right now in this situation. Of course, he showed him one time. He came to him and said, you know, God, they're saying that I brought them out here and you brought us out here and we're all going to die. We don't have anything to eat. And he told him, okay, I'll show you how I can fix that. Of course, they woke up the next morning. There's manna everywhere. Everybody went and picked up what they needed, and they ate it. Obviously, there's some that were lazy or thought they had it figured out more, and they tried to get more for a couple more days so they could sleep in the next morning. They got worms, things like that. So God showed them, I can feed you. And then, of course, they were thirsty. And he said, speak to the rock. And water came forth from the rock. And he showed him. And, of course, we know the story there. One time he got frustrated and he didn't speak to the rock, he whacked it. And that's why he didn't get to go into the promised land, because God had already showed him. And so when God shows us things like that, he showed him, I'll give you a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And then he told him, when they got to the Red Sea, I'm going to show you again. Hold up that rod. Poof! The water parted. They walked across on dry ground. And then, you know the story when they were battling. And he was holding up his rod. His people, God's people, would win. He'd get tired, put it down, they'd start losing. Aaron and Hur would help him hold that rod up. God showed them, I will help deliver through my power. So anyway, we see here Moses asked God, there's a lot of stuff here to do. Probably a million of people, a lot of people. They're all going to have different opinions. Here's some situations, things like that. Show me. And obviously we know the story God showed Moses. The second one is found in Judges 6:17. We won't take time to go over there and read that whole chapter, but this is Gideon. Gideon asked God to show him a sign. He said, God, I want to be sure here. I want you to show me a sign. And of course, we know the story in the Bible about the fleece. They put the fleece out and said, let it be wet all around it and dry on the fleece, and then let the fleece be wet and it dry all around it. And God showed there, things like that. And Gideon did the same thing. I want you to show me a sign. In verse 17, it says this, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight. We see a relation here. Both of them, Gideon and Moses, was humble. If I found grace in thy sight. So again, when we say to God, show me, we need to have the right attitude. All right, they came and said, if I found grace in your sight, show me. Very, very humble. It wasn't, hey, show me right now. And I can't stand statements like this. I talk to the big man upstairs. I think that's irrelevant, irreverent. And, he's God. He's not a big man upstairs. And so we don't not go to God and say, hey, show me now. No, please. He could just consume us. And so same thing here. Moses and Gideon both came and said, I got a situation here. Please show me how. And of course, Gideon wanted to make sure. So he said, show me a sign. And so it says here, he showed the sign and he was talking with him as well. So God did show Moses and Gideon with signs and wonders, put down the rod, turned into snake, things like that. Now, that's how he did it back then. And of course, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:9-11, I'll read verses 9 and 10, and then we'll talk about 11. It says here, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is apart shall be done away with. And so, of course, these guys, they didn't have the whole Bible. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Okay, God came down and talked to them in a pillar of fire over the tent. And God had the angel of the Lord speak to them. And so they just had bits and pieces, kind of like we saw I can't remember who it was now, asked, I think it was Paul, bring my cloak and bring my books and bring me the parchments, the pieces that he had. When we ask God to show us, the Bible talks about, we ought not ask God for a sign. We have his Bible. we have the complete story. So we can just trust Him. And so we can say, okay, show me in Your Word. Show me in the leading of Your Spirit. I don't think we're going to throw a stick down that come and turn into a snake. I don't think we need to ask God, you know, if You're going to answer my prayer, knock that tree down or blow that car up. Not going to happen. Why? Because that which is perfect has come. And so we don't have bits and pieces and parts. We have the whole complete Bible. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so we have to get to this point. Verse 9 said, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." They preached about the signs and the wonders and the you know, you should have seen this burning bush, or you should have seen this rod that turned into a snake. That's the parts that they had. And Gideon said, yeah, he told us to go out there and fight the enemy with a pitcher and a trumpet. And we broke the pitcher and we tooted our horn and they killed each other. You know, you should have seen it. It was awesome. We don't have that. Okay, we have the whole and so forth. And so then we have to realize verse 11 says here, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man," in other words, I matured, "I put away childish things." So I don't have to ask God, show me by showing me a sign. Show me by showing me some wonders. No, show me in the Bible. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we have to put our faith. That's how God speaks to us. So I grow up, I know a part of the Bible, and we could teach that part, preach about that part, but we should come to the time in our life that we know the whole thing, and we know all these ways. So until we become mature and perfect and Christ-like, here are some other things that we might should ask God. So we have, first of all, we have, show me. Now we're going to look at, I think it's 3, 4, maybe 5 other fellows in the Bible that they ask a question similar to this, but just a little bit different. So as we're maturing, as we're going through life, show me God. All right, here's some other things that we might ask Him. It's found in Matthew 14:30. Matthew 14:30, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. It says this, "But when he," talking about Peter, "saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." So Moses and Gideon said, "Lord, show me." Peter said, "Save me." Now, obviously, he wasn't talking about save my soul. You know, you could preach that if you wanted to. Lord, save me. Come into my heart and save me, things like that. But obviously, this guy, he was walking on the water. And he saw the wind, and it became boisterous, and he was like starting to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." All right? So, in other words, just like Moses and Gideon said, "Show me," Peter was asking God, "Save me." He took his eyes off the Lord. We've heard preaching about this, I'm sure. He took his eyes off the Lord, and when he did, he started sinking. Of course, we can learn from the Bible. Don't ever take your eyes off the Lord. Don't mess up. And then we saw here, he got afraid. Okay? And he was sinking. And so we ought not be afraid. The Bible says, put your trust in me. Be not afraid. I've got it all under control. I'm right there. And so, but again, we aren't mature. We're not like Christ. We haven't become perfect. We are becoming perfect. So there may be a time in our life that we get our eyes off the Lord. Or we get afraid. Nothing wrong with saying, "Lord, I've goofed again. Save me. Lord, I don't understand this. Save me. Fix it for me, please." And you know what he did to Peter? That's okay. Come here. And he took him right back in the boat. So during our life, yes, one day we'll be like Christ. We'll get our new body and we won't have to ask Him to save us anymore. We will be just like Him. We won't make mistakes anymore. We won't get afraid anymore. We won't make blunders anymore. We won't take our eyes off Him anymore. We won't begin to sink. So no matter what the reason is, just say, "Lord, save me." And we see here that, you know, obviously he wasn't being stubborn that day. He wasn't saying, "I'll figure it out on my own." He was, "Nope, save me." So like he said, save me. And we ought to do that. So like it said in 1 Corinthians 13:9-11, realizing that I don't have it all figured out. I can't do anything without God's help. This is realizing the truth. We ought to ask Him. Peter said, "Lord, I'm not trying to do something on my own. I'm not trying to do something spectacular here by walking on the water. But I need Your help." And so Peter said, "Save me." So Moses and Gideon said, "Show me." Peter said, save me. Let's look at the third fellow. This is found in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And again, all these fellows were great men of God. All these guys were great Christians, but they had issues. And here was David. You know, he was a man after God's own heart. He did a horrible sin. He confessed it, wept bitterly on his bed, asking God, can I still serve you? Got back to the place where he was serving God, was a wonderful Christian again. And then he asked this question in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And here's his question. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the ways of everlasting. So we see here David. Yes, he was right with God, was killed Goliath, killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands with God's help, things like that. Won battles, killed his tens of thousands, which Saul only killed his thousands. Was doing great. Blunder. Confessed. Forgot it. Started serving God again. And then he says, God, I don't have it all figured out. I asked you when I was a teenager, show me how to kill this bear. Show me how to kill this lion. Show me how to kill Goliath. And you did. And then I got my eyes off you on to Bathsheba and I messed up. And I asked you to save me out of this situation. And thank you, Lord, for getting me back right with you. Thank you, Lord, for getting me back where I could serve you again. And now this is what I want you to do. If there's any, just a little bit of sin in me, get it out. If there's just a little bit of my own flesh in there, get it out. Because, you know, us Christians, you know, that's been saved a long time. Oh, I read my Bible. I go to church. I pass out tracts. I live godly. We think we got all the big stuff handled. Those little sins, that fly in the ointment, is just as bad. We think, well, I haven't committed adultery. But if we just lust a little bit, boom. So that's what David said. Search me, Lord. Proverbs 25:4 says this, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. If you looked at a piece of silver, you would not see the dross in it. But if you put it in some hotness and boil it, all that dross will float to the top. You scoop it off, let it harden again. There's something for the finer. That's what David said. People thought, they used to sing songs about me. I could see, but God, you did all that. I goofed. Now I've got back to this place. I don't want to ever goof again. I don't want to ever disappoint you again. So you search me. If there's any little bit of a fragment of wrong in me, let's get it out. So what David was saying, turn up the heat. Get that finer pot going. Put me on it if necessary. You search me. Get rid of it. Lord, I don't think I'm okay. Some people say this. Lord, I think I'm okay. I haven't killed anybody. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I think I'm okay. Lord, other people think I'm a good Christian. At work, they call me Bible Bob or Bible Betty. Or, you're righteous. They think I'm okay. But I don't want to just trust in that. I want you to double check. That's what he was saying. Know my heart. Because I know what the Bible says about my heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. I don't want to think I'm all right. I'm okay. Lord, you check my heart out. Lord, try me. Put me in the fire if you need to. Let's get rid of some of that dross. Know my thoughts. Know if there's any wicked way in me. I've got all the big I's and all the big T's dotted and crossed as far as the Christianity goes. But God, with your help, I want to get rid of all that dross, even the little bit. So Moses and Gideon said, "Save or search me, or show me." Peter said, save me. David said, search me. Here's another one. Samson. In Judges 16:28, this is what Samson said. He said, strengthen me. Strengthen me. So we see that this fellow in verse 28 says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God," kind of that humble theme, like Moses and Gideon. "O Lord God," not, "Hey, big man upstairs." No, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengtheneth me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines of my two eyes." And you know the story. Samson obviously was a strong man and did a lot of great mighty things with God's help and so forth. And, you know, they try to trick him, and he had a girl issue and so forth, and messed him up, got his eyes off the Lord and on the girls, and lost his eyes because of it. And then, you know, wanted to get right with God, wanted that dross out of there. And of course, you know the story, he killed more Philistines in his death than he did his life, and God gave him strength. So, and what we can learn from this is, maybe we have made a mess of things, kind of like Samson and David. And they asked for strength back. So what did they do? They confessed. And God's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's only one unpardonable sin. So if you're still breathing, you haven't committed that. And Samson realized that. I've made a mess of things, but I'm still alive, so God can use me. And he drew a line and forgot. He said, "This one thing I do," just like Paul did. And what we have to do is say, with the time I have left, God, if you will strengthen me, I'll live for you. So I've talked to people before that, you know, they just weren't saved, and then they got saved. And that was easier for them to accept this sin because now that they're saved. I was ignorant. I was wrong. But then we have people like David and like Samson that were right with God and were used greatly by God, and they messed up. What the devil wanted them to do was forget it and give up and stop and don't. But both of them, obviously, David said, "You search me, let's get rid of anything so I can serve you till I die." Samson said, "All I got left is this, but I want to serve you." And so he said, like Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." So Peter said, "Save me." David said, "Search me." And Samson said, "Strengthen me." And one more, we've got two more, but one more. It says here, Isaiah. What did Isaiah say? He said, "Send me." Isaiah 6:8 says this. I'll read these for you. Isaiah 6. Well, I had it. There it is. Isaiah 6, verse 1. We'll read down through verse 8. It says here, "In the year the king of Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it, the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain and covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved in the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I," obviously when you see God as he is, you will have this opinion, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so obviously you see God as he is, you'll see you as you are. "And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity hath taken away, and thy sin is purged. And verse 8 says, And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And so, of course, we see here all these fellows, Peter saying, save me. David saying, search me. Samson says, strengthen me. And Isaiah sees himself as he is and sees God as he is and says, send me. I'll go. What we see here is that if God can save somebody like me by touching my mouth with this hot coal and he saved me, he can save anybody. So, Lord, send me. Isaiah was saying, send me to my family. Send me to my coworkers. Send me to my neighbors. Send me to my community. Send me to all the world. Send me to the mission field. And, of course, that's why the Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Because a lot of people won't say this. And it's easier to say this once we say, Lord, save me. Lord, search me. Lord, strengthen me. And we get to those points in our life, then we can say, hey, send me. And we ought to. And the last one we'll look at tonight is Job. Job said in Job 13:15, it says here, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. So Job, a little bit of different opinion here, because he was going through it. And he hadn't done the sin with Bathsheba. And he hadn't done the sin with Delilah. And he hadn't done any of the things that Peter ran off at the mouth about. Job was righteous. Job had not done anything. And Job lost his kids. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his health. And he said, though he slay me, I'm still not going to do wrong. I'm still not going to curse God and die like his wife said. So I am going to say, though he slay me, I will not turn my back on him. I will not. And so again, we see these fellows. We see Moses and Gideon said, show me, Lord. Then we saw Peter said, save me. And David said, search me. And Samson said, strengthen me. Isaiah said, send me. Job said, even though he slay me, I will maintain my good works. And of course, we could finish off the conclusion here with Abraham. And Abraham, he didn't ask God a question. He was saying what God said to him. And Abraham said, he spake to me and he swear unto me. So he said, look, just like he told David or Moses and Gideon, I'll be with you. My presence will be there. And I will do all those wonders and those signs for you. Then these guys, Peter and Job and David and Samson, things like that. Same way with Abraham. He told Abraham, look, you just leave and I'll give you everywhere your foot touched for your country and for your kinsmen. And you know, where do you want me to go? Just go and I'll give you a nation and things like that. Now we know Abraham kind of tried to help God out a little bit and him and his wife and Hagar and all that kind of stuff. And obviously we still see stuff going wrong with all that. But anyway, he finally listened to God and said, look, he spake to me. He's swearing to me. And what we can realize is God spoke to us and he promises us some things. He says, I'll save you. I will keep you saved. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will comfort you in any situation. I will guide you in any situation. I will meet any need that you have. I will bless you. I will go away and prepare you a mansion, and I will return to you. So just like Abraham, we can say, hey, he spoke to me, and he swearing to me, he promised me that he will do these things. So until we see him, let's be like these fellas and say, God, save me when I goof. Search me. Let's see if there's anything I need to get rid of. Give me strength, and I'll serve you till I see you. Isaiah said, hey, send me. And then even if everything's not going the way we thought it would, and that we planned for it to go, just say, Lord, I don't deserve anything except hell. So even if you slay me, I'm just still going to serve you. I'm going to do right. So there's some questions that we might ask to ask till we see the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for what the Bible says, Lord, and all these situations. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to realize that the Bible says that we can come boldly unto the throne. But we ought to come humbly like we saw some of these fellows do. And Lord, help us to realize, Lord, you're no respecter of persons. So anything you did for these guys that we talked about tonight, you will do for us. So Lord, help us just ask those questions and you'll meet those needs in Jesus' name. Amen.